And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain right here on KKZZ. We're positive talk radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is inspiration for the future. My second guest, Jordan Romero, is the youngest man to ever have climbed Mount Everest at 13 years old. However, he was unable to make it to a telephone to call us for the interview, so we're going to move on and go to our third guest. As I said, my first guest came in. They were very inspiring. They wrote a book to help readers prepare for a brighter financial future. My next guest has written the book on inspiration. It's titled The Inspiration Factor. We're going to discuss with him how to create a more inspired future for ourselves as well. If you want to join the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's 805-639-0008. Terry Barber is the chief inspirator for Griswold Communications Group, which serves the nonprofit healthcare segment as well as colleges, universities in the area of philanthropic branding. He speaks every week across the country on creating an inspiring culture. He recently created a Web 2.0 initiative called the Inspiration Boulevard LLC, which is capturing the attention of people interested in inspiring others and in being inspired. Terry holds a master's degree from New Orleans Baptist Seminary. He is actively involved in supporting an orphanage in Uganda and child sponsorship and early childhood education in Guatemala. Welcome to the show, Terry. How are you today?
I'm doing really, really well, and just looking forward to our time together.
Well, we're going to have a nice little interview here today. Thank you so much for being our guest. And I guess my first question to you is this. Why are you so inspired about, passionate about inspiring people in the workplace? I mean, why did you focus on the workplace?
Yeah, interesting perspective, isn't it? Because most of the time, the things of inspiration have everything to do with that which is other than business. It's almost an oxymoron to some degree. And yet, I am of this firm conviction based on all of our research that when people are inspired, that is employees and customers, they act differently. And it creates a brand new kind of relationship between the business and its employee and its customer. So I really began to want to better understand what then were the drivers to inspiration. Could you actually architect this thing that everybody refers to as just a good feeling? And beyond architecting it, can you quantify it?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to say answer in the affirmative to both those questions, because I believe that when you are on purpose, you are intentional about being inspiring, then your business is different, and it's more productive, it's more profitable, and you certainly have a better environment than your competitors do.
Wow. We're talking to Terry Barber, everybody. He's the author of The Inspiration Factor, How You Can Revitalize Your Company Culture in Just 12 Weeks. And I guess we really need to get back to some of the basics, Terry. And if you will, draw the distinction for me between motivation and inspiration. Are they the same thing? Because a lot of people use them interchangeably.
Yeah, great question. And actually, this was kind of the basis for the idea of the book, because there's so much out there in and around things about motivation, how to motivate your employees, how to motivate your kids, how to motivate yourself. And I see that. And unfortunately, it was, for the most part, the things of inspiration were all relegated in and around the religious crowd. And what I really began to see is that there was really a fine difference between someone who is truly motivated and then someone who is inspired, because motivation can be good or bad. A great example is when I was in high school and I brought home really bad grades, which was not so unusual, I'm afraid. I got really motivated every time my dad would say, "Son, we're going to go take a walk to the woods," which basically being interpreted was going to be severe punishment for the grades that I had made. And if I didn't want to visit the woods again, then it would be a really good thing for me to go ahead and shape up and bring better grades in.
All right. So the motivation that you had there was the motivation of fear of not having your father's approval and being literally taken to the woodshed.
Yeah, exactly. So I can only say that the difference between that and inspiration happened at other times when, quite frankly, we would ride to school together, and he would drop me off, and then he would literally, in our conversation, begin to ask questions about my intentions, my aspirations, my dreams, and in so doing, begin to align myself with that, and it just made a difference.
Hmm.
Bill, you're not going to believe this. There's a fire drill going on in my building.
Wow, we hear something in the background there. Do you need to participate in that? You're not
going
to burn up just by to death because there's a real fire, are you, Terry?
You know, I am counting on there not being a real fire.
Okay, well, we'll bank on that. If you need to go in a hurry, though, we'll understand because safety does have to come first. I like the distinction that you draw between inspiration and motivation, Terry. Inspiration, at least in the literature, has always been relegated to religion or some sort of metaphysical world, whereas motivation has been tied more closely to business. So how did you decide that you wanted to bring inspiration to business?
Here's what happened. When I was managing my own team at work, we began to do some pretty remarkable things, and we outperformed the other teams in a lot of different ways, not only in terms of income generation, but we also outperformed them in terms of retention and employee satisfaction, and so I got a lot of attention and a lot of kudos in around the fact that our team was like the superstar group. And what it really called my attention to the fact that when we started unpacking what was going on in behind the scene, it had everything to do with these drivers of inspiration that I had put into play as our team. And because it did have such a positive impact on profit, I just saw that there was a great opportunity for business to apply these principles across the board.
All right. Now, that's very interesting. We're talking to Terry Barber, everybody. We're talking about his book, The Inspiration Factor. Now, let me ask you this, Terry, because some critics who are listening to the sound of your voice might claim that you really can't motivate or inspire somebody else. That's got to be self-motivation. Isn't that true? Why do you feel differently about that?
I feel very differently about that because the vast majority of people that we did our research in and around, which literally was hundreds and thousands of interviews over the last few years in putting this book together, what we began to see is that when people had a big impact on the world, they were indeed someone who was making a difference and making the world a better place. In every single case, without exception, there was somebody who intersected their life at some point in time and so-called inspired them. Now, it could have been in a lot of different ways in terms of how that happened, but there was always somebody who intersected their life that made that impact. And, Bill, I would dare say, and we've never had this conversation, there was somebody in your life who intersected your life at some time in the past that help you get on a path of success that you're on.
Well, I would agree with you, Terry, but I would say it's more than one person because you have people that inspire you at different phases of your life. For example, parents probably inspire younger children because those are the role models that they look up to until they go to school, and then perhaps they're fortunate enough to have a teacher who inspires them. And then they get out of the business world, they find somebody who's been very successful at whatever it is they're doing, and that person inspires them. So you can have actual multiple people inspiring you throughout your career, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. But I think it makes the point all the more in terms of what it is that you can do as an individual to provide inspiration for somebody else, that you absolutely can, and it's not dependent upon you to go find it in and of yourself. So, in fact, the vast majority of the people that we interviewed talked about the fact that many times they came to a place, a defining moment in their life that caused them to have to begin to look beyond themselves. And as they did, then it was the opportunity to interface with somebody else. And you're right, at multiple phases in their life that impacted them.
Right. Well, you mentioned it earlier in your conversation about the drivers of inspiration. So you claim that most managers have motivation and it's very short-lived because they really only scratch the surface of an employee's potential. How can leaders do a better job of inspiring? What are some of these drivers of inspiration that you talk about?
Number one, the cornerstone to it all, or what I refer to as the gateway to inspiration for any manager, is learn to be authentic. And that sounds so small and so trite, and in many ways, it doesn't sound like anything like what is supposed to be a manager's job description. But it is absolutely critical that a manager come across as being the same person day in and day out. What we hear from employees, from an employee culture perspective, is the reason that they came to work at a certain place had everything to do with the cause and the culture and you know, potential good career kind of paths. But the vast majority of times when they would leave a place of business, it always had to do with having a rub in a bad relationship with a manager.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, statistics show that people don't leave their jobs. Well, they leave for a lot of reasons, but the primary reason by far and away is conflict with their immediate supervisor.
Yeah, and more times than not, it's not a personality conflict. It's a character clash. And what I mean by that is that it's so easy to dislike someone. I don't care what your relationship is to them, but especially if it's your boss, when they are disingenuous. When they come across being a different person one day than they are next.
All right,
if
now
they're allowing circumstances to drive their mood rather than being consistent.
Well, let me see if I understand this, and I want to clarify this for my listeners as well. You talk about being authentic. That's a term that's getting bantied about quite a lot right now. Be authentic, be authentic, be authentic. Mm-hmm. It's the new buzzword. But reality, it sounds to me as though you're saying be consistent is the more important thing. Just be the same person day in and day out. As long as you are consistent, whether it's consistently good or consistently bad, it doesn't matter, so long as people know day in and day out what to expect. Is that correct?
Well, I think that's part of it, and it's an important part. I would prefer to think that if you're going to be consistent, you're going to be consistently on the positive side of life. but the other aspect of being authentic also has to do with being vulnerable, having a willingness to drop the mask of whatever it is that you're hiding behind, and to be truly who you are and approachable. So listen, the fact is, your employees, if you are a manager, if you are a supervisor, the people who work under you, they know you have weaknesses. The problem is, many of them as managers don't know themselves, or they don't recognize it. They don't accept the responsibilities that go with that. And think about what an inspiring act it is. If I'm your supervisor and I come to you and I say after a particular incident, team, I did something that I regret, and I just need you to know I'm taking full responsibility for this. I was wrong. Can you imagine the kind of inspirational transaction that begins to occur there versus what typically happens, which is that when the team gets together and everybody gets some blame except the boss?
All right. So number one, be authentic and allow yourself to be vulnerable. That's the gateway to all inspiration. What comes next, Terry?
Second of all, learn how to see in others the potential that perhaps they don't even see in themselves. So many people get their start on a very positive pathway relative to their career because somebody saw in them the potential to be or to do what they possibly did not see in themselves. And I think I look at and I've read many times the Harvard Business case on the life of Oprah. And believe it or not, even within that, she talks about how as a child, when she was a child, it was her grandmother who saw in her the potential that she didn't see in herself that cast that vision. And I think about my own life and what an awful road that I had started to walk down when I was just in high school and college, and the people who came along and began to say to me out loud, I see more in you. I see more ability in you than what you're living out. You consider walking this way, and would take the time to cast a vision for me for the future. So inspire others by literally looking in at the potential of what you see them able to do, not necessarily what they're doing, but what they're capable of doing, and cast a very specific kind of vision for their life.
All right, Terry. Now, let me ask two follow-on questions just on this particular point of learning to see the potential in others. Number one question is, when you are a manager for the first time and you are either the same age or even younger than some of the people that you are supervising, it makes it difficult to see the potential in those people because you don't have the breadth of experience necessarily to see the potential. And it's even harder if your subordinate is younger, older than you, because they may not take the inspiration from a younger person. That's number one. And then number two, as a manager, I've got goals and objectives, things I got to do. So I may look at you today, Terry, and boy, I see the potential in you to be the greatest filing clerk possible because I need filing done today. And tomorrow I'm going to see you as the greatest accounts receivable clerk because I need accounts receivable done tomorrow. So how do you get that objective view, particularly when you're young, and then how do you communicate it that to people who are your same age or older?
You actually really laid a very nice segue for the third principle, which is all about aligning the aspirations and dreams of other people with business goals. So it may be that I need you to be a filing clerk tomorrow. I get that. But what I see in you, and because of the way that you do your work, is that you are an incredible hard worker, but you've got an eye for detail. You've got the ability to line things up and to make order out of them when all else just looks like it's in chaos. And for that, that's a gift. And I just wonder if there may be something going on with that gift that I could help you develop and really focus on it. And I want to recognize you for it. I want to appreciate you for it. But I also want to see if there may be some things that I can help you do to grow your platform in using that gift.
All right. Now, Terry, that brings up an interesting point. I like what you say. Align the dreams of your people with the business goals. However, what happens if the organization that you work in doesn't support that? In other words, you tell the person, I want to bring you to another place. I think I see potential in you to do this. And it's going to take a little time, a little effort, maybe a little bit of training, and spending a little bit of money. What if the company doesn't support you in developing that person to their fullest potential?
That's always going to be the case to some degree. You're always going to find obstacles from place to place and time to time. But here's what I have consistently found, and please feel free to disagree, but I have seen so many times that team by team, you can have an impact within a larger organization. So it may be that the company as a whole has a philosophy, or maybe it's a culture that is not so supportive of that, but it doesn't mean that you can't make that come alive for your own team and be that bright spot, be what I refer to as that lightning rod of inspiration in the culture that you're living in, which you're working in, by your team, and show it as an example. And in so doing, you be the more profitable, you be the more efficient, you become the model, but you got to believe it. You got to know that what you're doing and live by the conviction that what you're doing is going to be different and superior to what the other teams are doing.
Oh, I like what you have to say. We're talking to Terry Barber, everybody, author of the book, The Inspiration Factor, How You Can Revitalize Your Company Culture in Just 12 Weeks. And Terry, so we've been talking about the drivers of inspiration, be authentic, learn how to see the potential in others, align the dreams of others with the business goals. What other drivers of inspiration are there?
I love this next one. It's affirmation. It's one thing to appreciate somebody, to say, Bill, thank you, and that means a lot. Okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. But it's another thing to articulate very specifically what it is I see in you that I appreciate. So I love the fact that in this little bitty principle, anybody, I don't care your personality type, nor whether you are on top or on the bottom chart part of the organizational chart, you can practice this principle. In fact, I teach this very principle for people who find themselves in a position to manage up, because it is so easy to be able to look into the activity and the work of somebody else, to find something that you appreciate about them, and then you name it. You notice and you name very specifically what it is that you appreciate about them. So again, it's not necessarily calling attention to the kind of work that they're doing, but maybe it's the character trait that's behind that kind of work.
Oh, I like that. That is worth the price of admission right there, Terry. What are some of the other drivers of inspiration?
One of the other ones that I think is so critical is learn to be a good storyteller. If you are in a place of leadership, manager or supervisor, learn to be a good storyteller. People don't really care about facts and figures. And I just wish that I could for 1 minute push the button and make all PowerPoint go away for a week. Because I think it would radically change how team meetings and company settings begin to unfold. Put PowerPoint away and use your gift of telling a story. Maybe it's your own story, but if it's not, God knows there are plenty of sources to go to be able to pull great, inspiring stories together to start meetings. I even have created an entire module in and around developing your brand story for your company. It's amazing how many companies are out there who really have never taken time to teach their employees what they stand for and how to put what they do in a more relevant, resonating, and inspiring kind of story.
That is great. We're talking to Terry Barber. Terry, I'm going to shift gears on you a little bit because in your book, which is called The Inspiration Factor, you describe four types of people, four types of leaders: the commander, the coach, the advocate, and the accountability partner. Let's go through those together, shall we? What is the commander?
The commander would be the individual who is clearly by their name. They are the take charge kinds of people. It's really interesting. It doesn't have anything to do with specifically with the role that you play as much as it is this predisposition that we all have in personality. And there are some people who are just born to be in charge. The vocabulary usually always begins with, you really should consider, maybe you really need to. And they're the ones who are always organizing everybody else. Put a group of people together in a room that don't really know one another, I guarantee you somebody in the commander rank and file is going to step forward and start trying to put people in buckets, trying to better understand where they fit.
All right, I get the commander. What about the coach?
The coach is an individual who is really motivated to be able to help people take the next step in their life. They're not necessarily very good disciplinarians, but they're wonderful encouragers. They're the ones who actually, people like working for coaches. People love to be able to operate under a coach's domain because a coach is going to be a constant encourager. They're going to continue to uncover the places in their life, perhaps where they're weak and they need to grow, but it doesn't become their focus. And their focus is really helping that person become more of what it is that they know they need to be.
All right. And Terry, in the 30 seconds or so that we've got remaining, what's the difference then between the coach and the advocate?
The advocate is really going to be much more detail-oriented. This is that kind of person who has the ability to put order to things in and around the office. And they are also the ones who are very willing to be very vocal about standing up for somebody else.
All right, so they are the ones who stand up for their peers. Terry, this is great stuff out of your book, The Inspiration Factor. If people are listening to the sound of your voice, they like some of what you have to say, it resonates with them, where would you direct them to go?
They can go to my website at Inspiration Boulevard, BLVD.com. And there's just a ton of resources there to be able to pull from. And they can also drop me an email at tbarber@inspirationboulevard.com. I'm on Twitter at Inspiration Boulevard and a host of other places. They can even Google me at Terry Barber Inspires and find me.
Ah, wow. Multiple ways to get in touch with you. We've been talking to Terry Barber, everybody, author of the book, The Inspiration Factor, How You Can Revitalize Your Company Culture in Just 12 Weeks. Terry, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, Billy. Thanks.